Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville this morning. I'd like to extend a greeting to any guests or visitors that are worshiping with us this morning. Will you receive this call to worship? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we enter your presence this morning and worship you, stir our hearts that we may grow closer to you. Fill us with a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. I'd like to invite the worship team forward.
Share some verses and just also to say the offering is for the pastoral support fund this morning. And when the children come up for my coins count, it's on the floor over towards the drums, okay? Okay, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live.
Let all the curse. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you that we can come and gather to worship you, to honor you, to love you. And we thank you for the love you have given to us, especially through your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness and blessing to us. Father, receive the blessing that we can only give a portion back to you. We can never repay you. Father, we pray that you would help us to use the money wisely that you've entrusted to us. Father, pray for the pastor team and the work that is done here for the church. Father, I pray for Pastor Tony and that you would be with him as he shares from your word today. Father, lift up the quizzing teams today and lift up all of those who are out there serving you today and through the week. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we pray that you would get us through those times when we fear you, but we are called not to be dismayed, not to be discouraged, for you are always with us. And we thank you for that. And we lift this all up in Jesus' name. Amen.
All of your ways are good. All of your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone.
Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you.
Whom you love, I will love. How you serve, I will serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you.
Light into the world, light into my life, I will live for you alone.
You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone.
In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy, and I will follow. We just sang that we will never fear. and danger cannot frighten me if my Lord is near. But sometimes we do. We are afraid. And Psalms 56 says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? This is a children's song. I hope some of the children know this one. Something that Ken Eberle shared with us some months ago when he was here. One thing he said was forgiveness is the highest expression of an overcomer. And then he shared the account in Numbers of when the children of Israel were in the desert and they had sent spies to spy out the land and discovered it was full of flowing with milk and honey, but also big giants, and that they should be afraid, even though Caleb said, but, you know, God is giving us the land. So the people grumbled, and God said to Moses, how long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them. And Moses said, but the nations around will see this and say their God was not able to bring them into the land he promised, so he slaughtered them in the desert. And then, in verse 17, he says, now, may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion, which suggests that when God forgives, he is showing his strength. And so as we sing about God's might, let's remember that he is strong enough to forgive whatever we are willing to confess.
Breathe inside.
Father, we just thank you for your desire for us to have peace, and I pray that we would experience that today as we learn to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, kids, you can come forward. Half of them are sitting up front here anyway. Good morning, guys. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
You having a good day? Did you learn a lot in Sunday school?
Yeah.
Well, that's because you probably weren't paying attention. That's why you didn't learn a lot. This morning, I'm going to read Matthew 26, 69 to 75. Yeah. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. So in our story, Peter denies knowing Jesus. First, a servant girl says, you were with Jesus. Peter says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So why did he say that? Why did he say he didn't know Jesus? He didn't want to die. That was a possibility, yes. He didn't want to be arrested, yes. Why else? Yeah, he didn't want to be arrested. He didn't want to go to jail or prison. And he didn't want to die. But what have we been talking about in Sunday school?
Valentine's.
Valentine's? Well, okay, maybe. Fear, yes. Someone said fear. It's being afraid. Peter was afraid. So why was he afraid? Well, we mentioned some reasons why, but why was he afraid? You don't know? Well, that's okay. Peter was afraid because he thought what happened to Jesus might happen to him. And he wasn't focusing on Jesus, he was focusing on himself because he was afraid, and that fear took over. See, you have a choice. When your friends ask you to do something, or they won't be your friend, you have a choice. You can do what they tell you to do, whether it's good or bad, or you can think to yourself, what would Jesus do? Would he do that? Also, when someone tells you to be mean to someone else, you can ask yourself, would God want me to do that? Would God want me to be mean to someone else? No, he wouldn't. So remember, focus on Jesus. All right. You guys listened pretty good, so I guess you can have a snack. Ask your parents if you may have it before you eat it. Good morning. Before I get into my message, I would like to share a little bit about our goals and vision for this year here at Bowmansville. I shared them at a church council meeting and pastor team meeting. They're written up in the minutes, but if you didn't read that, Larry and I discussed that we thought it'd be a good idea for me to share them verbally. In March of last year, I had a dream, and we're going to share a few minutes about that and what we're planning here as a leadership team and a church council at Bowmansville. I had finished reading this book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, by W. Philip Keller. He compares Psalms 23 with raising sheep, because he was a sheep rancher. And he compares the sheep to us. So it's very good and very real that we are sheep. And the Bible often refers us to us as sheep. So in the dream I had, I was passing many fields and many other flocks. I would stop and look around and be like, no, that's not my flock. Well, the strange part of the dream, you always have those one little strange part in there. I was riding a dirt bike. I was going really fast. Last time I rode a dirt bike, it didn't end so well. When I got to my flock, many of the sheep looked healthy. Some were sick, and some were dead. Why are they sick? Why are they dead? Lack of good food? Parasites? I needed to move the flock to a new pasture, or more will become ill and die. I'm going to read an excerpt from his book. Because of the behavior of sheep and their preference for certain favored spots, these well-worn areas become quickly infested with parasites of all kinds. In a short time, a whole flock can thus become infected by worms, nematodes, and scab. The final upshot is that both the land and the owner are ruined, while the sheep become thin, wasted, and sickly. The intelligent shepherd is aware of all of this, not only just for the welfare of his sheep and the health of the land, but also for his own sake and reputation as a rancher. He must take the necessary precautions to safeguard against these adverse animal traits. Such habits in themselves comprise very serious hazards. The greatest single safeguard which a shepherd has in handling his flock is to keep them on the move. That is to say, they dare not be left on the same ground too long. They must be shifted from pasture to pasture periodically. Here at Bowmansville, we have a lot of healthy sheep, and we want that to continue. We want the sick to become healthy. We want the dead to become alive again. Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. We've been focused on going out into the world and spreading the good news about Christ, and we will continue to do that. This year, we're focusing on moving everyone into new places with God, not just staying where you are, having people use their spiritual gifts, growing these gifts, developing them to serve God. Sitting there wasting away and dying is not what God wants from us. We're reviewing Sunday school curriculum for the primary grades, surveying teachers. We want children to learn and enjoy Sunday school. We're focusing on using the list of everyone's spiritual gifts to put people where they are gifted. There will be a series of family life Sundays, focusing on money, marriage, among other topics. We need to be moved into new green pastures. This sermon series on fear is part of that vision, getting us to recognize that we do not need to fear, that God is with us and He cares for us. So our message this morning is the disapproval, the fear of rejection. Dr. David Jeremiah, in this chapter, is referring to the fear of being rejected by man. So we're going to look at a few examples in the Bible. 1 Samuel 15:24. There's a little background before I read. King Saul was given orders from God by Samuel to go and totally wipe out the Amalekites. Saul did that, except for the king and the choice sheep and cattle. This action was in direct disobedience to God's commands to totally wipe them out. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Saul lost his kingdom because of this. He feared man instead of God. Typically, when you go into battle and you win, you take all the valuables, all the good things from that country, and you take it back to your own. You take from your enemies everything. This time God said, destroy everything. That included the king. That included the sheep and the cattle. God meant everything. Saul caved under peer pressure. Pressure from the soldiers. They wanted the valuables from their enemy. Moving into the New Testament, John 12, 37 to 43. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. The Lord has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. The Jews saw Jesus perform miracles in front of them, and they would not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Even though they believed in him, they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they chose to fear man over God. The people in these verses wanted approval and praise. They would get this approval in the synagogue. It's the same as today. Many people seek for approval from social media. In the New York Times, there was an article that talked about a man who developed apps. He was busy working and didn't have time to like his friends' photos and interact on social media. Very quickly, he felt like an outcast. No one would interact with him until the guy made an app that always liked the photos that people posted. It wasn't long before people began interacting with him, and he became their best friend. People have this longing for approval from others instead of seeking God's approval. We go around looking other places. The speed that this can happen today is amazing. In Dr. David Jeremiah's book, he talks about the actress Marlene Dietrich. In 1999, she was named the 9th greatest female actress of all time. She lived for approval. When she would invite guests over to her house, she would play recordings of her live shows. Not the speaking, not the acting. It was just the applause from those live shows. And she'd be able to tell you which show that applause came from. In 1975, she fell off the stage and broke her leg, ending her career, pushing her into seclusion. She couldn't receive approval anymore, and so she hid from the world for many years. There are other forms of approval seeking, having the popular clothing and electronics. This way, you're the same as everybody else. You won't be labeled as an outcast. You want to fit in and be liked. You don't want people to make fun of you. No one wants that. No one wants to be made fun of. However, if your only focus is what others think instead of what God wants you to do and what God thinks, that fear of man takes over. Next, we're going to look at Peter around the time of Jesus' arrest. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. An attachment of soldiers, officials from the chief priests and Pharisees, led by Judas, was coming to arrest Jesus. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. So we're going to pick up the story in John 18:10. Then Simon Peter, who had his sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Peter didn't seem to have the fear of man, did he? He pulled out his sword and cut off a guy's ear in front of soldiers. Usually that doesn't end so well. Yet the fear was there. It just didn't show itself yet. In John 13:36 to 38, Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Jesus knew that the fear of man was in Peter, that Peter was not ready to lay down his life yet. Did Peter believe that he would die for Jesus? Yes. He drew a sword and cut off the servant's ear. There's still a part of him that was afraid. John 18, 15 to 18. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because the disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the girl on duty, and they brought Peter in. "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Peter was questioned by a servant girl who kept the door, much like a butler would today. He was a little surprised by the question. See, the servant girl would have been from a lower class than him. Even though he was a fisherman, he was still one step above her. And that question was not in her job description. A young woman in that day, to ask a question that accuses a man, that was not customary, and that was way out of the ordinary. Peter answered the question out of surprise and fear that Jesus was arrested and he didn't want to be. There is something that we can learn from this verse, this first denial. You have to decide in advance that you will stand for Jesus no matter how that happens. Run through some scenarios in your mind and say, "I will give this answer." And this doesn't have to happen all at once. Whenever you see something happen, ask yourself, what would I do if that was me in that situation? Would I stand for Jesus or would I deny him? Be prepared to give an answer. John 18, 25. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." Peter was just warming himself up by the fire when he was asked if he was one of Jesus' disciples. "I'm not," he replied. Simple, right? See, Peter was intimidated by the crowd that was around the fire. You can just picture it. He was trying to get warm, and they asked that question, and all the conversation stopped. Everybody stopped talking to one another, and he had that deer in the headlight look. "Are you one of Jesus' disciples?" And he said, "No." Peter could have said, "Yes, I am." He could have faced arrest, prison, or death. His fear overtook his faith. Peter just saw Jesus heal the guy who had cut the ear off in the garden, yet he denies Jesus. John 18, 26. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Peter faces more of a hostile attack. A relative of the man who Peter cut off the ear, he was there in the garden. He witnessed it take place. He saw Peter cut his ear off, but he also saw Jesus heal the man. So Peter wasn't sure which way this conversation was going to go. Was he going to have him arrested for cutting the guy's ear off? Or was he going to ask questions because he saw Jesus heal the man? I'm going to use Matthew 26, 74 to 75 to read Peter's denial because it was over the top. I mean, he made sure that this denial was clear. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Then he remembered the words that Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This gives a better description of how exuberant Peter was in his denial. Peter was full of pride and self-sufficiency. He was also very impulsive. In Peter's life, he took Jesus aside and rebuked him for saying that he was going to die. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and he jumped out of the boat. He did that with faith, and then it very quickly turned to fear when he sank into the water. He denied Jesus three times. He cut off a guy's ear. These are just a couple things that Peter did that were selfish and impulsive. In God's kingdom, there is no place for pride and self-sufficiency. Pride and self are one reason we fear disapproval. Another reason we fear disapproval is that we don't spend time praying. Matthew 26, 41, "Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." Jesus said this to the disciples before he went off to pray in the garden. Prayer is a protection against pride and self. When we focus on God while we're praying, we recognize that we can't do it on our own and that we need God. Reason three is that we try to do it in our own strength and our own energy. When we live by the flesh instead of giving God control and believing that He will take care of me, go back to the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years because they were afraid of the people whose land that God was giving them. God was going to hand that land over. God was going to go ahead of them and destroy the enemy. All they could see was giants. They were afraid instead of having faith in God, the God who performed many miracles ahead of them as they left Egypt. Fourth reason that we fear disapproval: we follow Jesus from a distance, like Peter did when he followed Jesus after he was arrested. Peter stood in the courtyard to get news. Peter wanted to follow Jesus, just not too close. Not close enough that he would get arrested. Peter wanted credit for following Jesus. At this time, he wasn't ready to lay down his life. Peter was going, "Hey, Jesus, I'm over here. Look, I'm here. I didn't run away like all the other disciples. You keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job." He wanted credit. When we face fear of man, we need to love God for who He is and what He has done for us. God sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for our sins. We need to have faith in Him. It is possible to have fear as a person without it overtaking us. We can feel fear and faith at the same time, knowing that God is in control while not allowing fear to run rampant. Peter could have been afraid to answer those questions, and yet he could have said, "I am a disciple of Jesus. I am a follower of God." If we have acted like Peter and given in to fear, there is hope for us. John 21, 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, the son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus reinstates Peter, asking him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter wasn't afraid of man after this. He was changed. He received the Holy Spirit later in Acts, and Peter would preach the message of Jesus Christ until the day of his death. Psalms 56:11 sums up how we need to be living. "In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" God can change every one of us. We need to give him full control. Jesus is our example. He stood in front of man, and the only approval he sought was from his Father. Jesus knew that he was going to die, and yet the only approval he wanted was from his Father. Remember, who is in control? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you today wanting and looking for your approval. When we are afraid of man, keep us from falling into that trap. Fill us with faith in you, that we can stand in your strength and not our own. Keep fears from controlling us. Protect us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have a few announcements. There is a note in your mailboxes to help bless the Brubakers with a going away gift box. And there's a list of items and things that you can give to the Brubakers as they go and serve God in Colorado. And we will have more information in the coming weeks about the meal that is planned for that Sunday. I also have a message about Alvin Good. His heart surgery was successful. He is moving into Ephrata Hospital today for rehab. Continue to pray for Alvin and Janet through this recovery time. Will you stand for a parting blessing? 2 Thessalonians 2:16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Go in peace. You're dismissed.